Every time we pass a graveyard and I look at like all the souls that are resting there, and I go like, how many dreams are buried with these bodies? Because people are scared to take risks, because they're scared of failure. I think the biggest fear is failure, because it's attached to guilt and shame. And we've been marinated in that culture so much that we are really worried about failing, to the extent that we're not willing to take risks that can change our lives. And we'd rather live with what if than go out there and do it, because we're scared of failing. And I always say, like, if only the idea of failure was never introduced, do you know how the world would be different? Oh my God, everybody would be out there doing what they have to do, failing, not caring about failing.
If you have ever needed permission to be bold, to be brave, to be bodacious, to be brash, to be rooted in your feminine, to honor the masculine side of you as well, this is the episode for you. My guest today has been a prolific talent of very versatile fields. It is none other than the Sara Al-Madani. And I met Sara earlier this year on my trip to Dubai, and she is a big ball of energetic fire. And when I mean fire, she has the grace of just a calming goddess beauty. She is so rooted in her feminine, yet she shares about the different relationships that she's had where she's had to be the masculine role. And you may have seen her or know her from the popular Bravo show, Housewives of Dubai. She is also a multi-award winning serial entrepreneur. She's had 7 different businesses at one time. She's an honored public speaker. She's a TEDx speaker. She's spoken at TEDx 4 times. She's a former board member of, selected by His Highness Sheikh Dr. Sultan bin Mohammed Al Qassimi, and a board member of the Sharjah Chamber of Commerce. She started her own business at the age of 15. She is a powerful keynote speaker. And she has an honorary PhD in business leadership and women empowerment. She's had several dozens of awards in the cross sections of business, entrepreneurship, and leadership. And she's somebody that I just look up to for her ability to not only command a room, but also empower others with her soft, ferocious, incredible beauty and her love for helping expand others. And in this episode today, we talk about many things, from abusive relationships to running 9 businesses, to being a mama, to starting her first business at 15, to doing 4 TED Talks, to premiering on The Real Housewives of Dubai. She's nothing short of a powerhouse. And we get into the differences in spirituality, healing, gender roles, and if you are navigating gender roles or how to be more feminine or more masculine in this season and stage of your life, if you're looking to soften, if you are looking to just learn more on how to integrate more of the masculine and the feminine, this is your episode today. We filmed this in Dubai, and her son, who is the cutest thing, I don't think we get him on camera, but he is actually in the background hearing his mother speak, and to see him just look at his mother in awe and their relationship together is just nothing short of inspiring. So I know you'll get so much value out of this episode. I know you're going to fall in love with Sara Al-Madani. She is a powerhouse, and I'm so glad we get to sit with her this week. So enjoy Sara Al-Madani on The Brave Table. Life's moments come with their ups and downs, but every experience is an opportunity for growth and connection. Introducing our very popular That Sucked, Now What? Specifically crafted 44-prompt conversation card deck and our 52 card deck of affirmation cards designed to transform your relationships with brave conversations and interactions in your life. Imagine peeling back the layers of everyday conversations to reveal deeper, more meaningful connections. Our conversation cards are your key to unlocking stories, laughter, and understanding among friends, family, or even just going a little bit deeper. And now, with our affirmation cards, start every day with a positive nudge. 52 powerful affirmations to remind you of your boldness, your unapologetic resilience, and your worth. A simple practice that can dramatically shift and change your perspective and uplift your spirit in your day-to-day today. Now, these are not just cards. They are gateways to deeper self-growth and self-understanding and brave conversations. Whether it is for yourself or a thoughtful gift, head over to thatsuckednowwhat.com. That is thatsuckednowwhat.com and grab your bundle today. Now back to the show.
Okay, love. So we started with our little intention setting.
Yes.
And you picked your card. Okay, what is your say?
My card is so me.
Yeah.
And it's like something I always like preach about. It says, I am the only one who determines what is and isn't right for me. I am the final say. I'm the creator and director of my story. Mm. Bam.
That's you.
Yep.
That's you, queen. I love 100%.
It. 100%.
I love it. So, okay, Sarah, you've been known as a powerhouse queen, super controversial. What was little Sarah like?
Little Sarah was the same. And like, she was in the making.
Mm.
You know, I always say like, when your parents give birth to the black sheep in the family, they know who's going to be trouble. And they knew day one, they were like, oh my God, she has a personality, she has a voice, she has an opinion, she's going to be trouble. But the truth is, my son is like that. And I don't see it as trouble. I see it as big character, you know, just blossoming into something. So I allow him to. But my parents were really worried when I was young.
Mm. Yeah. How many siblings are
we're you? We're three. I'm the eldest.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do they say now?
They get it. But they somehow don't get it. They get it because they're like, okay, now it makes sense why her personality was like that. And she was very rebellious. And but what they don't get is how I do things because I do them differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I am such a risk taker that doesn't make sense to them. Because how they were raised within culture and society is that taking risks is not always the best thing to do. And you should always be comfortable and safe. But that's not how I play life. And they don't get that part.
No, and I love that. I feel like you have, at one point, you've had 9 businesses all at the same time.
Right now, I have 9. Yeah. I had 20, almost 20, I lost count, 26, 28 maybe, but all of them failed.
Mm.
Yeah, which is a blessing because when you fail, you never lose. You either win or you either learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed failing as well because it taught me so much.
I mean, it's huge because you giving other people permission to fail. I mean, this is the Brave Table.
Totally.
And you started your first business at 15.
Yeah.
What have you learned from when you were 15 to now in terms of business leadership and starting new?
The thing is, the business information is a given. When you start a business, you have no choice but to learn. You know, how to get up, how to proceed, how to grow and all that. That's a given in business if you are really into it. But what I didn't expect was the personal growth and the inner journey, not the outer journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because being in business at a young age and not having an opportunity to live my childhood the way everyone did at the age of 15, because I had staff at that age, I had a company at that age. So it made me blossom differently. It's like, I'd say people go from being young to maturing. I went from maturing and now I'm being young. So now my inner child is coming out because I'm doing a lot of inner work and all that. But at that age, I was just, you know, doing what I had to do.
Well, and how was that time? And for those who don't know, what was the business that you had?
I started as a fashion designer, not because I loved fashion. I was a tomboy. I never cared about what I wore. And I was just me. I love being authentic and different.
Mm.
But I guess I did it for 20 years because as a woman, I was brought up in a society. I don't think it's only my society. I think it's worldwide. I was brought up thinking that women should be in female industries.
Mm.
So you're either selling cupcakes or makeup or doing fashion.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing that, it's not right. And I fell for that trap. Thank God 20 years later, I woke up and I was like, what the hell am I doing? I don't even have passion for fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm good at it. And to be honest, like this is why people get confused because sometimes they do things, they're good at doing them. They think they should stick to them because they're good at doing them.
Mm-hmm.
But us humans, we can learn a lot of things. We can do a lot of great things. Just because you're good at something, it doesn't mean it's right for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I realized it's not for me.
Well, and I love that you realized that early on.
Yeah.
And having at your height 26 businesses and then failing too as a result, but then learning so much along the way. Why do you think most people are afraid, especially women?
Yeah. I think what people fear is failing. Because I always say, like, every time we pass a graveyard, I know this sounds sad, but every time we pass a graveyard and I look at, like, all the souls that are resting there, and I go, like, how many dreams are buried with these bodies? Because people are scared to take risks, because they're scared of failure. I think the biggest fear is failure because it's attached to guilt and shame. And we've been marinated in that culture so much that we are really worried about failing to the extent that we're not willing to take risks that can change our lives. And we'd rather live with what if than go out there and do it because we're scared of failing. And I always say, like, if only the idea of failure was never introduced, do you know how the world would be different?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my, everybody would be out there doing what they have to do, failing, not caring about failing because it's a process, it's part of learning. It's a step on the ladder of success. Nobody, I've never met somebody, and even if they tell you they did, I've never met someone that went out there, did it, and became successful right away. They all failed. Some of them don't like to speak about it because guilt and shame.
Right. And nobody likes to really speak about it. We see it online, right?
Yeah.
But you're saying there is that full process.
100%.
Of the failures.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the projects that you are super excited and passionate about in this era of you?
I mean, most of the businesses I do are in creative fields, finance fields, and all that, which are great because I love them. I have a passion for them, but it doesn't make me excited. But I love it. It's my passion. Right now, I'm excited. I'm launching a company with my best friend. It's called Fix, F-I-C-K-S. And Fix, because my business partner, she's a scientist. And crazy scientist. And I'm the crazy outgoing one. So it's combining things that are studied scientifically in a scientific way and changing your health and your lifestyle and impacting it in a positive way, but in an unconditional, unorthodox way. So for example, like, let's say, I do not like taking tablets for vitamins.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. And IV is so overrated. Gummy bears, I don't like them.
IVs are overrated.
I mean, they're great, but it's like, how many times do I have to go and sit for an hour and get the IV infusion?
That's true.
So how do I put vitamins in people's bodies without using the traditional ways? So this is one of the ways that we're handling at Fix.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah, yeah. And we're now releasing a pillowcase that has nanoparticles and it's studied. We've tested it with Emirates Airlines. We've tested it with Kim Kardashian's team and all that. We spoke about all these things. And the nanoparticles are in the pillow. And what nanoparticles are, they're tiny, tiny particles. And when they interact or they're moved, they explode. So every time you sleep and you're moving at night, the nanoparticles explode and release natural melatonin. So you don't have to ingest it. Because I'm so against ingesting melatonin.
Yeah.
So this is one of the products that we're launching right now. So,
amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. There's this, and then finally, we're testing at the moment my app. It's called The Others. It's an education platform. So these are the two things I'm like a baby, excited every morning I wake up to do.
It's so fun.
Yeah, it is.
It's so fun. So, and I kind of want to go back a little bit because you also have had this walk with domestic violence.
Yeah.
Abusive relationships, and because the Sarah, the Dr. Sarah Almadani that everybody, Dr. Sara that everyone sees now and maybe sees you in this way, how was she during that time?
You know what they say, when it rains, it pours. So when bad things started happening, they all started happening at once.
Isn't that crazy?
It is insane. And I went from being cheated on to being in an abusive relationship to my business partner stealing all the money. And that was a business partner who was a best friend. So I was like, oh my God, like, what's happening? It's like a dominoes effect.
Did you ever check your like horoscope reading to see if there were...
Well, Pluto has been in my area for a while. So for the past 18 years, I haven't had good luck. But I don't believe in luck anyways. So no, but the thing is, I was feeling down, but at the same time, a spark got ignited in me, a spark of curiosity. So instead of like sitting down and I was upset, I was sad. I'm not going to say I'm not human. I did.
Of course.
But at the same time, instead of saying like, why is this happening to me? What's going on? God, help me. The questions were different, which also shocked me as a person. The questions were, so why am I here? Like, mm-hmm. if this is all happening and this is not what life is about, because I thought I had a perfect life and I had a business partner, I had a husband, but then everything went downhill. What is life about? What is my purpose here? And that was the beginning of my journey towards spirituality, mm-hmm. because it happens when you hit rock bottom. Mm. And that's where you take pain and make it your best teacher, or pain breaks you. So pain either makes you or breaks you. You decide. And to be honest, if I tell you, let me ask you this question. If you tell me, okay, I've been through so many bad things, abusive relationships, blah, 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 yada, yada. What are the choices I have? If I tell you, okay, girl, you have two choices. One is to feel down for a while. Pain is going to be hard. You have to live with it for a while. Let it hit you until it leaves you. And then you bounce back. Mm-hmm. Or you just live miserable for the rest of your life and depressed and let it affect your body in multiple ways. What do you want? Is there really a choice there?
Right.
There's no choice. So why are people choosing the other one? Why isn't everyone choosing to thrive and just get over things and let pain motivate them and teach them? Because when you go through something wrong, we have to be realistic. We cannot say it's 100% their fault. I contributed as well. So if you focus on your contribution and where you went wrong, this is where self-growth happens. But if I sit and blame and cry and project, I go nowhere.
You know, it's so true. It's interesting when I was reading your story and coming across some of these clips of you talking about your, you know, abusive relationships.
Yeah.
My first marriage was very toxic and it was, you know, it was abusive in all of the ways. And people actually wanted me to speak on, you know, domestic violence. And so I did. I even started a charity that would champion young girls in their self-confidence. But I said, if we sit there in that blame spot and only be in the victim, then who are we really helping? And who was I back then to who wanted this kind of savior on a horse and the whole nine? And what did I need to heal from as well? And I think for me, I wanted to, I could not be alone.
Yeah.
But that was a really painful thing to admit. And once I did, it was like game over. I'm not going to be speaking on these platforms anymore. I know there's a whole, and I respect the people that do that work. And I think it's needed. But I think once you know, you can't unknow.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I think, to be honest, speaking about my experience, I speak a lot about it. Like the physical abuse, the mental abuse. I speak about it so much. Why? Because I want to show women and men out there that if you're going through this, I am a survivor and it feels so good to heal and it's so empowering and I'm thankful for everything I went through, even if it's bad, because it made me the person I am today. So it's number one, I'm telling people and I'm serving the community and society by telling them, here is the light. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, me speaking about it healed me from a physical disease that I had, because I used to always suppress my voice and I ended up having hypothyroid and an autoimmune disease called Hashimoto's.
Ugh.
And the minute I started speaking, because I was battling everything alone, it was kept inside.
The throat chakra.
Yeah. And when I started speaking, everything left. Everything got cleared. My autoimmune disease is gone. My hypothyroid disease is gone. And the healing helped a lot. And just choosing to look at life in a positive way and living life positively and switching your mindset. Mm. Because by the way, all it takes is a mindset switch from a cup half full to a cup half empty.
Yeah,
you can switch it. It's the same cup, same amount of water. Look at it differently, because you cannot change anything. You cannot control anything around you. For you to make it easier for you and for you to cope and to be in control of your reaction, change the way you look at things.
Mm.
That's your superpower. But people don't know that. They think my superpower is I have to go out there and be in control of all my surroundings. Then I'm on top of the game. But that's exactly how you lose control, because you cannot control anything. You can only control yourself. That is your power.
Yes. And when we can't control it, then we hit our rock bottom or we keep spiraling.
100%.
And then we keep going into the same patterns that we've been either attracting or we fall into the same kind of...
I mean, look, the thing is, all patterns come from trauma. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a trauma that happened recently, whether it's childhood trauma, what people don't understand is that you don't remember what happened to you from the age of 3 to 7. It might have been a small argument with your uncle that have sparked something in you and destroyed something in you that made you take wrong decisions until the day today. Yeah. Like I always say, before healing, when I started doing my healing journey, I was 32 years old. Mm. Okay. When I was 32, I was taking decisions from my four-year-old wounded mind. Mm-hmm. Like the four-year-old me from my childhood trauma was taking decisions in my 32-year-old body. Mm-hmm. And this is what trauma is. And I had to make sure I silenced that voice and I healed that child for me to move on forward. And then I realized, oh my God, this is why I do this. This is why I say this. This is why I have this pattern. This is why I attract this. This is why I settle for anything. It's because of my traumas. Mm-hmm. But because people don't remember them, they go like, I don't have any childhood traumas. No, we all have traumas. And just because you're a good person and you don't hurt anybody doesn't mean you don't need healing. We all need healing.
Right.
And once you do the healing, you're in a completely different mindset. Mm-hmm. Like now I can sit and tell you anything about my life that is extremely sad and you wouldn't see me react. Mm-hmm. Because A, I'm in control of my reaction. I'm the master and the captain of my soul, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, I'm indifferent to the incident. Mm-hmm. I have no feelings, no attachments to it. Because if you have a good feeling to a memory, that's an emotion. Mm-hmm. If you have a bad feeling to a memory, that's still an emotion. That's an attachment. Mm-hmm. Even if you hate something or you're angry, it's still an attachment.
Right.
So when you cut the cords with everything in the past and mm-hmm. you realize that the past don't exist, neither mm-hmm. does the future. So mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about so many things all the time. Mm-hmm. This is when you become indifferent with your past and it becomes like an album with pictures in one of your closets. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it.
It's beautiful because then you won't really have a trigger or a charge.
No, nothing triggers me at all. And if I tell you what I went through, you'd go like, how the hell are you even walking? Mm-hmm. Because I have no choice but to bounce back. I'd rather choose the option A, which mm-hmm. is to bounce back and be better and to learn, than to be depressed and to feel down and to let it take over my life. Mm-hmm. Life is short. One day you're here, one day you're not.
Well, it's interesting that you shared that, you know, during that really time of havoc that your business partner was taking a bunch of money from you. Yeah. And then you're now sharing that you're starting this new company with a different business partner. Yeah. Were there things that you needed to heal, or what was that process of you healing those kind of relationships to make sure that now there's no trigger, we can have yeah. trust again, you're not self-sabotaging?
Well, I mean, all the healing that I did, all the procedures and steps that I did helped me. Mm-hmm. But the funny part is that even though I've been cheated on I've been in four relationships. I've been cheated on. I've been abused. I've been robbed, money taken from by business partners and all that. I never gave up on believing in humanity. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason I still believe in love and I still believe in business partnerships with other people and trust and hope is because I am those things. And mm-hmm. if I exist, I'm pretty sure a lot of other people exist. So life becomes a reflection of who you are from the inside. Mm-hmm. If you are dark from the inside, if you can't be trusted from the inside, your whole world will be like that. It's a reflection of who you are. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is what kept me going. And this is why I never gave up on doing businesses with people or falling in love again and trying to find true love and settling down. I want all these things. Mm-hmm. Like love and trust is the basic necessities a human is born with.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let any relationship or any abusive relationship or anything wrong in my life rob me from these two instincts. I want them. I still want them. And I mm-hmm. still thrive when it comes to these things.
I mean, it's so big and it's fascinating because we do tend to forget how we're just mirrors.
Yeah.
And we're mirrors of our surroundings and we're mirrors of what we're trying yeah. to create in our lives. And you've had that as such a confident
yeah.
construct. I know your son is actually in the room with us yeah. too. And he's so cute. He reminds me of my son. I mean, how has your parenting and motherhood kind of shifted in how you raise him?
Also, when you do the inner work and you look back at your life and you look at the way you were raised and you look at the way you were taught and the mm-hmm. things you were told, and I wish I knew all these things when I was younger, but there's no awareness about them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm not going to let my son reach the age of 30 and start therapy. I'm going to give him a better example of how life is and how he should be now when he's young. So I looked at everything and I reflected and I was like, I don't want to raise my kid the way my parents raised me. Although their way they raised me was amazing. Mm-hmm. But that's all they knew how to do. That's the only way they know how to love. And I know now how to do it better because I've done the inner work. So I look at my son and I raise him completely different than the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. I give him freedom that's guided. I give him responsibility of making decisions. I tell him to be himself and be weird and not to fit in. And these are the things that I was never told.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, they say when you do the work and you do the healing, you are literally healing your whole lineage, your whole ancestor line, everybody in your past, your whole family. When you heal, you're healing them. And you become the chosen one who is going to take that lineage to the next level. You are the new ancestors. You are the one that's going to change the game. You are the black sheep that has been chosen to take over that. And it's a big responsibility. A lot of people let go of it. And they're like, I don't know why I'm different. Maybe it's, you know, it's normal to have different people in families. No, you're chosen to take a path that will change the whole road ahead for everyone else coming into that lineage. And my son is my, I'm a warrior. My son is a warrior. And we're just going to create from now on people that are on a healthy route, happy, deeply spiritually rooted. And that's how I'm doing it. Completely different than the way I was raised.
We do get challenged though.
Yeah.
Because it's like, ooh, the old way of raising our children is easier.
Yeah.
It's easier. There's yelling, there's spanking, you know, there's all of those things. There's no listening. And I feel like it does take a certain act of bravery, of courage, but also, like you said, the work.
Yeah.
And the work is big. And it's not going to be just a one size fits all.
Yeah.
There are going to be kind of pitfalls to be able to look back at yourself and say, okay, what am I getting triggered at now?
It's true. I mean, and I'll say it again now. Healing and doing the inner work and the shadow work is not for the weak. It's not. And everybody thinks that, you know, spirituality and all that is like, you know, lovely fairy dusts and light and love and peace. And it's not. You have to go through so much darkness to reach the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's not for everybody. It's not for the weak. Is everyone spiritual? Is everyone an alchemist? Is everyone powerful within their soul? Everyone is. I'm not a magician, you know. I was not born as a chosen one. I'm like everybody else, but I tapped into my energy. I tapped into my magic. And I just wish everyone would look into themselves and realize that the whole universe is not on the outside, it's on the inside. And we're not just a body with a spirit. We're a spirit having a physical experience.
Absolutely.
People don't understand that. But once you do all of this, the end result is beautiful. And once you're awakened, you can't go back to sleep.
That is true. Once you see, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we kind of say like the rainbow sheep, but I love that you said we can actually be shifting the next generation.
Yeah.
Because I think that everyone at the Brave Table, or at least our listeners, are like, yep, I'm here for the long haul. And it's hard and it's painful and it's the paradox and it's both of those things.
Step into the fullest, most expressed, and expanded version of yourself. One that's not afraid to shine your light, one that's truly embodied and is able to fully feel in order to heal. Hey friends, guess what? Doors are open. Highest Self Institute, our 3-month long-awaited embodiment certification is finally open, where you can learn in depth over 3 months how to fully be in your body, not your mind, embrace your emotions as messengers, and how to be in the fullest expression of you. This is our 3-month embodiment certification. Maybe you're desiring a place to be fully seen, fully accepted, and fully met, or perhaps add to your skills as a coach, healer, or therapist, or maybe you've been on the lookout for a safe place to allow your fullest expression to come alive without any judgment. Head over to highestselfinstitute.com, highestselfinstitute.com for more information. Classes begin May 21st. I will see you there. Now back to the show.
Now, fast forward to today's healing process and everything that you've gone through. What's been your walk with spirituality? And what is maybe your favorite mode of healing today?
There are so many modes in spirituality for healing. And I feel like there isn't a one method to fit all. You have to really go and try it out and see what really works for you. And my combination was spiritual healing, which is healing the deepest wounds that are accumulated in your subconscious and conscious mind and that are in every cell in your body. Because our cells keep memory at a cellular level. And this is how you pass things through DNA. It's memories kept there. So how to cut the cord and how to erase traumas from your body, certain parts of your body, and to just release everything. So spiritual healing really helped me with that. And I had amazing healers that guided me through it. But then also hypnotherapy helped because it taps into your subconscious mind and an area where you forgot about. Mm-hmm. And it takes you back there. So a combination of both, but in spirituality, like it's a rabbit hole. Like if you want to go down the rabbit hole, we can. But there are so many, many things like ancestor healing, past life regression. There's so many things you can do.
What was the first thing that you began with at 32?
The first thing I started with was questioning everything. Mm-hmm. Just going back and questioning everything I was told. Because I feel like if you really want to find out who you are and if you want to let's call it maturity. If you want to mature in life and be the best version of you, a lot of people go and start learning new things. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, to be the best version of you, you have to unlearn everything you've been taught since the day you were born. Who you were told to be, how you were told to be, what you were told to do. Complete, you know, control, alt, delete, erase motherboard.
Yes.
Okay. And you have to figure out who you really are, because that is not who you really are. That's who you were told to be. Mm-hmm. So you discover who you are. And that journey itself takes like a year or two or three mm-hmm. for you to discover who am I if I was not conditioned to be the person I was to be. Who mm-hmm. am I? What is my spirit? How am I really in my own nature? Mm-hmm. And that journey started at like the age of 32. Then it went into hypnotherapy. Then it went into like when you're aligned and your energy is aligned and you know exactly you're laser focused on healing, you start attracting people that bring answers to you. Mm. So I might have questions and then suddenly, boom, this person would show up in my life and give me the answer. Or a post online would come up and give me an answer. Because you're aligned, frequency is aligned. So everything is coming to you, you're attracting things. Mm. So I cannot summarize it. And I think I'd need like a 3-hour podcast to go through my spiritual healing.
We'd have to bring you back for sure. So we can dive into all of the different ways.
It's such a long dive, yeah.
Well, and I know that people who are listening are probably like, okay, Sarah, you have been through so much.
Yeah.
And you're sharing all of this amazing wisdom. But I still feel like I need to respect my elders. I still feel like the ties of my family obligations are there. What do you say to them?
That is programmed cultural mindset. Respecting the elders means if the elders need anything, you're there for them. If they need you to provide, you provide for them. If anything they need in life is missing, you give it to them. But it doesn't mean I get divorced when I want. I marry who they want. It doesn't mean I study what they want. It doesn't mean I live the way they want. That's not respecting the elderly. That is literally living someone else's life. Like if your parents want you to live like this, go here, study this, or marry this person, or not get divorced because it's bad. You're literally living the life they want. That's not the life you want. So respecting the elderly and respecting your family doesn't mean giving up your free will. Mm. God gave it to you. Why are you giving it away? It doesn't make sense to me. Mm. God gave it to you so you can make decisions. And even like I'm a Muslim. From my religious background, it says that when you want to respect your family and you want to make sure that you're taking care of them, it means providing for them. It means being there for them. It does not mean taking life decisions based on what they want. How are you supposed to learn if you're guided? If somebody's holding your hand through your whole process of life? Mm. This is a school. You're here for an experiment. How are you supposed to learn and understand and discover if every step of the way someone's telling you, go this way? You need to get lost in the woods sometimes on your own.
Oh, I love that. Preach for those louder in the back.
Yes.
Okay. So let's break down. I saw, you know, something, you know, online where we were talking about, or you were kind of dispelling the whole idea between gender roles.
Yeah.
And for another group of my audience who are powerful, ambitious women, and either they're single or they're kind of coming out of relationship. Do they need to dim themselves in relationship? How have gender roles
never
affected you?
Never. Let's take it back a little bit just to explain to, if there's any women listening to this that need this message. The divine feminine energy is so powerful, extremely powerful, to the extent that for the past, let's say, 10, 15, 20 decades, they had to suppress it because it's powerful. The reason why it's a man's world is because if women were allowed, they would take over. And, you know, they always say, like, if you see stories of, like, ancient stories of how this king took over this place or this country or war, and there was always a woman whispering in his ears. Women are dangerous. Mm. Extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. So this is why the divine feminine has been suppressed. Mm. But nowadays, the divine feminine is on a rise. It's coming out again because it needs to come out again. So my advice for you is never dim your light for anybody so you can fit into their life. You know, there are people out there that will love you and respect you and want you for who you are. You don't need to dim your light for anybody. And you need to understand that we do not compete with men. We complete men. Mm-hmm. You know, women and men complete each other. They don't compete with each other. And if you're going into life competing with the other gender, you will lose. Mm-hmm. Because there is nothing to compete about. There are things that they can do and we cannot do. And things we can do, they cannot do. It's this life. It's reality. I don't need to go out there and take every single role. I am a divine feminine. You are the healer. You are the one that brings the light. You are the one that brings the balance. You're the one that gives birth, gives life. You are extremely powerful. Do not dim that for anybody. Mm-hmm. And if somebody says you're too much, tell them, go find something less. Mm. As simple as that.
I love your hot takes on all of these. It's so good. We have a section called Spilling the Chai.
Okay.
And before we get into it, I'd love for you to pick maybe a couple of cards from the section. And I'll have you answer some of those. And we have some that are
together. So how many do you want me to pick?
You can pick two.
Where do I put this one here?
Yeah, you can put it right here.
All right.
All right. If you're watching this on YouTube, she's picking
shuffling.
Up the cards. She's
shuffling them. Yes. Okay. How many do I pick?
Two.
So grab two right away.
Perfect.
Okay.
And you can answer them. You can take as long or as short as you want.
Wait, are your cards synchronized with my thoughts?
Maybe.
Listen, okay.
Oh, I love it. I love when they do that.
So it says, if you weren't self-cautious or worried about failing, what form of expression would you explore? I'm not. I love failing. You tell me there's an opportunity, I'll take it. And if we fail, it's completely fine. So I feel like there is no expression left to explore because I am exploring everything. Mm. I have one life. I might leave right now and die. So every moment is precious. Therefore, I'm exploring everything. I don't like to wake up and say, what if? What if kills me? Mm. I like to go out there and get it done. Mm. And I also love knowing what I can do. But what I love more is knowing what I can't do. Mm. So if you tell me, Sara, can you do this? And I say, no, it means I've tried. It doesn't mean I randomly answered you. No, I want to try. Mm. All right, next one. What does being brave mean to you? So being brave is not the opposite of being fearful or scared. Being brave means being fearful and scared, but getting over it and getting it done. Mm. So it doesn't mean, because a lot of people are like, how do I remove the fear so I can be brave? You don't remove the fear. The fear is still there, but yet you go and do it. Mm. So it's not erasing an emotion to come up with another one. They both coexist together. And the minute you realize that fear is just an illusion and we are all prisoners of our own thoughts and nothing is real and my thoughts are not real and everything I think is not real, you liberate yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you liberate yourself, you become brave. That's
well,
it.
And from you, coming from somebody who's done 4 TEDx talks.
Yeah, I love TEDx.
Oh my God, those things, they scare me because you have to, I feel like you have to memorize the whole 20-minute speech.
You know, I never prep
like
for
a
speech.
It's a full monologue.
I never prep for a speech.
You don't memorize those.
No, I
like
never prep.
I feel like they're so rigid and they're very...
No, some are.
Specific.
Yeah. No, some are. Look, when you watch TED or like TEDx talks...
Those are memorized. Some of them.
You can tell who's memorized and who's not. Okay? For me, I don't memorize anything. I actually don't even want to know what the topics are about until the day of the speech.
Stop.
Why? Because I channel. I just stand on stage and I start channeling. And then it's like verbal diarrhea for me. Mm. I don't know how, from where, how it's done. People are like, why don't you teach it? It's like, I can't teach something I don't understand.
So you're channeling on... Okay, we'll have to link some of her talks in the show notes so you guys can all see. I'm loving this conversation. And okay, so we have the section called We're Spilling the Chai.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you some hot takes on certain things and we'll just have you riff on a few of these.
Let's go.
Okay. People pleasers versus empaths. Are they the same?
People pleasers and empaths, they are the same. I mean, you cannot be a people pleaser unless you're an empath. Mm. You know, otherwise you're a sociopath. You know? good. Why would you people please if you don't care about people and what they think and all that? So I was a people pleaser, so I get it. Mm. Yeah.
Have you done improv or stand-up comedy?
Yes.
Okay, which one? Improv or stand-up?
No, improv.
No stand-up?
Wait, I'm confused.
No, which one would you do and which one would you prefer more?
Stand-up comedy.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Women empowerment. Your thoughts?
I hate the word empowerment.
Tell me.
If it's a word a man can't choose, I don't want to use. And women do not need someone to hand them their power, because empowerment means give me power. Mm-hmm. Women are powerful. They don't need someone to give it to them. And words are called spelling because they're spells. Whatever you say, you become. Whatever you think, whatever you speak out loud, you attract. So if I'm saying empower me, empower me, empower me, I'm literally telling myself, I have no power. I need someone to give it to me. Therefore, I hate that word. Mm. Inspire me. Great. Help me. Great. But empower me, no.
Because we already have the power.
Yeah.
What's your take on cancel culture? What do we say to our haters?
The thing is, look, cancel culture has its pros and cons, okay? Because some people are really shitty. They need to be canceled when they do what they do. But then nowadays, everyone's sensitive. So people are canceling people for like the most stupidest reasons. It's like, come on, make it make sense, you know? I think people really need to be careful because you can end someone's life, dream, career, everything they've worked for because you got personally offended. And I don't even understand why would you get personally offended from something because nothing is personal. Yeah.
Weaponizing femininity.
It is a weapon. Mm. Are you asking me if mm-hmm. it is a weapon?
Mm-hmm.
I think being feminine is such a powerful weapon that women underestimate.
Mm.
It's just by being a woman, I can get so many things done. And I'm not talking like using your femininity in a wrong way.
Right.
You become a sexual product or get things done in the wrong way. No, mm-hmm. I'm saying like with your energy and who you are and your aura and your presence, because I'm a woman, the divine feminine energy, I can get so many things done.
Mm.
Yeah.
So embrace your femininity.
100%. Love it. Embrace it.
But don't weaponize it.
Yeah.
Beyonce or Riri?
They're two complete characters.
Which one would you pick?
Riri.
Yeah?
She's a rebel.
She is. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Beyonce's proper.
She is.
She's very talented, but she's proper.
She's proper. It's
like, be a bad girl for a bit. You know, just, you know, have fun.
Yeah, you're so right. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. Okay, and I have to ask this. The Real Housewives of Dubai or Dubai Bling?
Girl. I love everyone on Dubai Bling. They're all my friends, but definitely our show. Our show.
Okay, you'll have to watch.
Just in case anyone's watching and I get fired. Our show is the best.
If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see us chuckle. You'll have to watch Dr. Sara on The Real Housewives of Dubai.
I mean, I am not your typical housewife material. Because the show requires certain type of personalities.
How has that journey been for you though? Because
it's
hard. You have a lot of spirituality.
Yeah.
You come with so much depth, presence. And I'll be honest, I have not seen the show.
Yeah.
But now I'm curious. So I'm definitely going to watch it.
I'm the one that brings healing. And I'm always talking about therapy. And I'm always like…
So they have pegged you as that character.
It's not… No, because when they took me on board, they didn't know how I was. Because the casting happened in the States. They don't know much about the Middle East, right? They don't know much about you as a person. So what they did is when they casted me, they just normally asked me questions and all that and everything. But when I came on the show, they thought, okay, she seems like a nice girl, but everyone has like, everyone's a ticking bomb. She's going to have her moment. But then they realized that, no, she's a tree hugger. And, you know, I feel like I don't fit into the scenario of the Real Housewife franchise. But maybe it's time for them to bring someone that brings some positivity and change.
I think
and,
that's so great.
Yeah.
I think now I'm even more inclined to watch it.
Because yeah, you see me like so trying to drag everyone to therapy and talking to this person, that person. Some of them drive you crazy. And you do reach a point where you can easily snap. But at the same time, I do not let anyone get me to that place. But also, you need to understand something about spiritual people. We are the Buddha and the badass, mm-hmm. you know? We're both combined. We're dark and light. We're yin-yang. Being spiritual doesn't mean I'm full of light and love all the time. I do have a dark side. But spiritual people and people who are in peace have tamed their beast.
Mm.
Which means if I want to unleash it, I can. But it's tamed. I control it. While people who haven't done the work and haven't done the healing, their beast is untamed. So it comes out whenever it wants. They can't, them as the owner of their beast, they can't even control their beast.
Mm.
So I do have a dark side, but I know when to let it out. Because if I don't let it out, I'm betraying myself. And if I don't stand up for myself, I'm betraying myself.
Mm.
And I don't do that. I stand up for myself when I have to, and then I control myself when I have to.
This conversation has been so fascinating, so incredible in so many ways.
Thank you.
You are such a brilliant light, and I feel like so many people are going to just have so many amazing
gems. I hope so. And we're trying to spread light. Yeah.
And mic drop moments from you and just how you are and how your amazing son in the corner is just watching you just beam with radiance. Where can everybody get a little taste and a dose of you online?
I'm on every social media platform, but heavily on Instagram. Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Sara Al-Madani.
Sara Al-Madani.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sara Al-Madani. Yeah. I'll put that in the show notes.
Thank you.
And anything else? Have we covered everything today?
I think yes. Are you curious about something specific?
I mean, I always am. And I feel like our conversations can keep going and going. What is one word that describes you in this season of life?
Rebel. I have it tattooed also here. But not rebel in a way that I'm breaking the law and all that. Rebel as in I rebelled on all my weaknesses. I rebelled on all my patterns. I rebelled on myself to become the best version of me. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be rebellious. There's nothing wrong with it. Live, don't exist. Yeah.
And that's all we have for the Brave Table with this week. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank
Dr. Sara, you're amazing.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. So are you.
Come back next time.
For sure. We'll go down the rabbit hole together.
We will. Until next time on the Brave Table. All right. We are back on the other side. All right. Stop what you're doing. Go ahead. Follow Sara Al-Madani on Instagram. That is Sara Al-Madani, Sara Al-Madani. I'm going to link that in the show notes. Go ahead for your guilty pleasure. Add watching the Real Housewives of Dubai on your playlist and your shows for this weekend. She is such a breath of fresh air. You can also watch and listen to any of her TED Talks, which we will link also in the show notes. And if you're curious to learn more and go into that Powerhouse Spiral, we will link another episode by Teal Swan also in the show notes, as well as two others that you will really, really, really love. So if you haven't already taken a moment to share what you loved about this episode, what you'd like to hear more of next time, you can go ahead and tag us at The Brave Table or at Neetha Bhushan. Follow us on YouTube if you're watching us there. We have some behind the scenes clips and they are so, so fun. So you can watch us at Neetha Bhushan on YouTube or you can tag us at The Brave Table and follow us. You can hit the follow button, hit the subscribe button. If you are listening to this on Spotify and iTunes, it really helps grow the show more than you know. So thank you so, so much for tuning in. And as always, don't forget to be just a little bit more brave.